Are oil-producing nations playing a game of the price is right? Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Oil prices have climbed just above 1% following the announcement by Saudi Arabia of a 10% cut to its output. OPEC Plus, the group of the world's leading oil-producing nations, says it's part of a wider bid to stabilise a market that's struggled since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And other members of the cartel and partner nations are extending the cuts in production they announced in April. Cornelia Mayer from Mayer Resources is an energy analyst in Vienna observing these meetings. Hi, Cornelia.
Hi, Leanna.
So, Cornelia, just explain to me why they've cut production again.
They've taken the production cuts that they did, the voluntary cuts that they did in April, and they've extended them through 2024 to give the market some visibility and stability. They're looking at the global economic situation. They're looking at where inflation is, where interest rates are. So they're taking preemptive measures.
The thing is, Cornelia, if I'm an everyday consumer and I think, gosh, the price of gas is high enough already, why do they want to keep cutting production? What price do they want it to be at?
I think OPEC will always insist that they're not looking at price, that they're looking at keeping markets adequately supplied. If you sit in Europe, and you look at the price of petrol. I mean, A, it's not just the crude price, that's one input, but it's refining margins, refining capacity. And in Europe, about 75% of what you pay at the pump are taxes. About 25% go towards oil. So there is that element.
So we got a reaction from markets this morning when they opened. The price of Brent crude, which is one indicator, that has ticked higher. But I think at the moment when we're talking, it's about 2%. I mean, is that really a big jump considering they've made this decision?
No, it's not a big jump. And I don't think they wanted to see a big jump. They wanted to see stability. Because what you have seen is that, you know, they cut in October and then the price went up to $80. And at some stage, it went below $70, even for Brent. So they're basically trying to bring it up a little bit again. So I think it's, to me, that it goes up slightly shows A, that markets were expecting it, and B, that it, in the light of the current macroeconomic situation, was probably an adequate move.
Cornelia Mayer of Mayer Resources in Vienna, thank you so much for joining us in Marketplace.
Thank you so much, Leanna, for having me on.
Now let's do the numbers. Asian stocks rose higher this morning, boosted by a rise in oil prices, and Turkey's annual inflation rate has fallen a bit to the lowest level since late 2021. Still high, though, at 39%, and one of the factors behind that fall ahead of last month's elections. President Erdogan gave away free natural gas, pushing down household bills. Salvage work continues today after one of India's worst train crashes. On Friday, three trains collided, killing 275 people and injuring more than 1,000 in Odisha state in the east of the country. India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi has often publicised the government's investments in expanding infrastructure, but a recent official audit said the amount invested in safety was decreasing. With more on that, the BBC's Archana Shukla has this report from the crash site.
Indian officials are trying to pinpoint what led to a train carrying more than 1,000 passengers colliding with a goods train parked in a siding. Another train passing in the opposite direction then hit the derailed coaches. India's Railway Minister Ashwini Vaishnav suggested signal equipment was to blame, but wouldn't be drawn further.
It's about the point machine and the electronic interlocking system in this matter. The change in the electronic interlocking system caused this accident, and whoever did it, and whatever the reasons are, will be known after the investigation.
The driver of the train survived the crash and has said he did not jump a red signal. There have been calls in India for ministers and high-ranking officials to resign. Pressure is also mounting on the government to abandon the flagship program of introducing more high-speed trains and instead focus on safety.
The BBC's Archana Shukla. Space races are won and lost on investment, and China's investing to win. China built its own station after it was excluded from the International Space Station over US security concerns. Three astronauts returned yesterday. Their colleagues continue to carry out scientific tests and plan their own moonshot. Brian Harvey is the author of China in Space, The Great Leap Forward, and he told Julian Marshall about those moon ambitions.
China has stated that it does intend to send its first astronauts to the moon before 2030. And that has rather upped the stakes with the United States, because the US already has it in plan with the Artemis program to land its first astronauts back on the moon after Apollo in the next number of years. So there is a perception of the idea of a second great moon race, rather like that in the 1960s, except that this time it's the US and its allies versus China.
Who will emerge, is it possible to say, as the winner?
On the face of things, the United States is set to get back to the moon first. However, the Americans are using a lot of quite untested technology in the form particularly of the Starship, which suffered a catastrophic accident during its first attempted orbital launch only a couple of weeks ago. If that is delayed, it's quite possible that the Chinese, who have a much more conservative technological approach, could actually get there first in the end.
Brian Harvey, author of China in Space, The Great Leap Forward. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to James Graham for producing, Solmaz Aslan on the tech, Will Bain as our editor, and I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for listening.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.